The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Reoccurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times column, Forbidden Tablecloth.
It's time now for The Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you've been listening to our program these last couple of weeks. We've been sharing some principle for discerning the will of God in your life. I know that sounds like something lofty, but it is something that's available for anybody who's willing to serve the one and only true God. But some of you may have been listening and thinking, well, Bob, what if I missed God's plan? What if he's been trying to talk to me, but as you put it last week, I didn't get out the spiritual Q-tip, didn't clean out my spiritual ears. Have I missed it? Am I destined now for second best? Am I destined for something less than the ideal? Or worse yet, is there going to be some kind of horrible punishment because I missed God's plan? Well, I have some words that may actually comfort you today as we continue on our series. Also today, film critic and short story writer Mark Boubian, who joins us from time to time, is going to be talking about some holiday gift ideas with the latest in Blu-ray. And for those of you dinosaurs that still have a DVD player like me, maybe something you could find on Blu-ray or DVD. These last couple of weeks, as I mentioned, we've been talking about the will of God. Now, you can go to my website, bobsiegel.net, and download these shows. I recommend you do that because what you're about to hear should be heard in context. But let me quickly review what you could hear in detail off of my website. We called these preparatory steps, getting your heart ready. First, we said, examine yourself and ask, what do I want? Do not assume that God's will is necessarily opposed to yours. But on the other hand, we said, be prepared for the other side of the coin, because God will put us through field maneuvers to keep us strong at a time we may need to take a stand for him. So at times we'll go through trials. At times God will go out of his way to ask you to do things he knows you don't want to do to help you learn how to push the envelope and challenge you to be a better Christian outside of the comfort zone. Third, we said, realize that God is not as concerned for external things as for morality. A lot of times he cares why we do things even more than what we do. And for this reason, a lot of his will is already in the Bible. I mentioned if we're praying about something that the Bible is already clear about, that could be a very dangerous thing. And finally, we said a lot of it depends on the amount of time you spend with God. Some people spend all kinds of time asking their pastors for God's will, and they don't even spend 5 minutes a day asking God himself. This is supposed to be about a relationship with God. Now, here's a couple of wrinkles I want to add this week. God may not want you to know everything about your future. We think we'd be happy if we knew everything that was going to happen our whole life. My friends, let me tell you something. No, you wouldn't. You'd be miserable, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. Because God is going to have you go through things someday that today you would not be able to handle, but someday you might. So at the time, he will give you the strength. It says in Corinthians that there's been no temptation that's come our way, that God hasn't shown us a way out. But that's referring to the situation that we're in today with the way our walk is with God right now. Knowing everything about our future could be downright depressing. There's a story of a little kid who his whole life, and then he grew up into adulthood, he knew everything that was going to happen to him. One day he tripped over a flight of stairs, got up and said, "Whew, thank goodness that's over with." You see my point. Thinking about what was going to happen was worse than the thing actually happening. Now, another one of these preparatory steps is to keep in mind you are made in God's image. That doesn't mean that God looks like you. That doesn't mean that God has fingers and toes. Of course, Jesus was an incarnation of God, but that was God becoming a human being and taking on human appearance. When people looked at Jesus, they weren't seeing what God really looks like. But the real God in his true appearance, nobody has ever seen that. No human being has ever seen that. When the Bible says we're made in God's image, It means like God, we can think, we can feel, we can make choices. Some of you have kids who you're planning to send off to college someday, or maybe you already did. You might have cared that they went to college. You might not have cared where they went to college. The Bible tells us that we can make choices about who to marry. We're told that we should marry somebody of our same faith. Those that are Christians should marry people that are Christians, because you marry somebody that doesn't have the same values as you, even if they're not religious values. Two people that don't have the same values, that doesn't usually go for a happy marriage. Could make a nice sparky romance over a nice date and to get that flame going and debate things. But in terms of long-lasting living, you want somebody that has similar values. Okay, so now when we continue this next week, and we're not doing as much today because we want to leave time for a film critic, next week, after going beyond these preparatory steps, we're going to look at the actual ways God speaks. Things that he did in the Old Testament, things that he did in the New Testament, and things he does in this current testament called your life, God communicating through dreams, through visions, sometimes with an audible voice. If a prophet came to you and said, this is God's will for your life, how would you know that that prophet was telling the truth, especially when the Bible tells us to test the spirits, especially when the Bible tells us that there's such a thing as false prophets? Let me close this out by giving you an illustration to address this concern that we articulated at the top of the program. What if I missed God's will? If God is trying to tell you something you haven't heard, he's going to tell you again. God is just great at giving second chances. Second chances is what the Bible's all about. Second chances is what Jesus' death on the cross was all about. Story of a father playing a game of catch with his young son. His son was about 9 or 10 years old. And out of about 10 throws, the son either fumbled and dropped the ball or just missed the ball completely 9 times. At the end of the game, the father slapped his son on the shoulder and said, great game, son. He says, Dad, what do you mean great game? I mean, I dropped the ball 9 times. He says, I know you did. But what fascinated me and what made you very proud of you is that every time you dropped the ball, you went right back in waiting for me to pitch it to you again. Have you missed the ball? God will throw it to you again. Just get back in there and let him throw. We'll return with film critic Mark Boobian. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Welcome back to The Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Today's going to be a pop culture edition. I have not forgotten that there's a lot going out in the news, but be of good cheer. I will be substitute hosting for Rick Amato tomorrow night. Same station, KCBQ, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock for the one-hour edition that's been going currently with Rick's show. And that will be all about current events today. No current events except what current events might relate to what's currently going on in the movies. Please welcome film critic and short story writer and good friend, Mark Boubian.
Thanks, Bob. It's that time of year. Of course, it's Christmas, and this is the time when the movie studios like to release their big ticket items for people to buy for presents for Christmas. So I thought this time I deviate a little bit from my usual deviation of strange Christmas movies to just normal Christmas movies, but what to get for Christmas.
Do you remember what year it was? Was it 2 years ago that you did your choice of your top 10 Christmas movies? Because I want people to go on my website and find that.
I don't know. I think it was 2 years ago. It was either last year or the year before.
I believe it was 2 years ago.
Time flies, Bob.
2008, Mark was asked to come in and pick his top 10 holiday movies. There were movies on there like Full Metal Jacket, like Eyes Wide Shut. I think Harry Potter.
Yes.
But there was something about Christmas a little bit in all of them that the rest of us missed. But, you know, you were expecting to say It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle. No, but, you know, I'm sure this was the only radio show in the country, in the world, that had a top 10 Christmas list like that. So check out my archives, 2008, or actually on my radio archives, there's a subsection which says movie reviews. I think it's there. And if I'm not, then write me, tell me you can't find it. There's a couple of our shows from a couple years ago that are not posted, but we can repost them. You want to hear that. And you want to hear what he has to say today.
Yes, I was on the show. That's why you want to hear it. Well, you know what? Hollywood has not made it easy this year to make a good list of Christmas presents, because this summer was one of the worst summers ever for good movies.
I don't think I saw one film all summer. I have not been to the movies in the longest
because there wasn't anything to see. Okay, so the top 10 earners of 2010, the 10 highest grossing movies so far, four of those movies are children's animated films. That has never, ever, ever, ever happened before. It's always been one children's animated movie in the top 10. The rest of the nine are summer
blockbusters. Now, you love animation. These were animated films you did not like?
No, they're all good movies. There's no reason for them not to be good earners, but they're good earners because there was nothing else to see.
Oh, okay. So when you say there was nothing good, you're not including some of these good
animated
ones.
No, I'm not including these.
Okay.
So I thought I'd start out with these animated films because they're being released now. And some of them were not actual movies this year but are coming out that are catalog titles. The first title is Secret of Kells. Now, technically, I'm pushing the envelope a little bit because this was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Animated Feature.
You talked about that when we did our Academy Award.
That's right, because it was nominated in 2009 for the 2010 for the 2009 Academy Awards, and it's because it had a limited release in film festivals last year. But it had its wide release, if you could call it that. It had its standard release this year, so I'm counting it as a 2010 movie, mainly because I thought the movie was so good and so wonderful that it deserves to be mentioned more than once and definitely needs to be on this list. The Blu-ray just came out about a month or two ago, and it is the best Blu-ray I own, the best Blu-ray I've ever purchased. It is a beautiful movie. It is, you just sit and watch it in awe of the art. It is such it is absolutely a work of art. Now, it's very flat and 2D stylized. It's not computer animated. So it harkens to the quote-unquote old days of animation. So it has a very...
Would it be the old days of, like, good animation?
Yes.
Disney had the single-cell animation.
Right, it's cell animated.
Still good, and they had depth that was drawn in.
Right.
Okay.
Now, this doesn't have a lot of depth, but they do it very stylishly, so it looks beautiful throughout the film. The backgrounds are very detailed. The characters themselves are really flat, but they exist in a world that is just so rich and wonderful. And what's also nice about the film is that, and this is something that is unique to animation, is the art form of the film can project part of the story of the film. Now, The Secret of Kells is about the Book of Kells, which is a real book. It's a Bible. It's the very first Bible that was written in Gaelic, I believe. It's maybe not the first, but it's the oldest existing. And it has many pages that have deeply illuminated, they're called illuminated pages, very detailed drawings within the text itself. So it's like the Bible itself is a work of art, and they borrowed from this style and integrated it into the film. So it's like you're watching the Book of Kells come alive as you're watching the story unfold about the writing of the Book of Kells. And the other nice thing about this film is it's a Christian myth. They use Gaelic mythology and they integrate it into the story with the Christianity. And it's actually the Gaelic mythological character that points out to us that this book is a book that is more important than anything. It is the book that turns darkness into light. And that book is the Bible. So this is a wonderful movie. It appeals to me, obviously, as a Christian, but as a fan of animation, I cannot recommend it more than anything. Sleeping Beauty, I think, is the greatest animated film that came out last year on Blu-ray. If you don't own that, you should buy it. But Secret of Kells, I put on par with Sleeping Beauty. It's
speaking
that
of
wonderful.
Sleeping Beauty, I heard a piece of trivia recently on a recent trip to Disneyland. The castle at Disneyland is called Sleeping Beauty Castle, and was, you know how a lot of Disney's rides are meant as promos for his movies. That was built as a promo for the Sleeping Beauty movie that was soon to be come out, and then it didn't come out till 4 years later, and then they just kept it.
But right, yeah, because Sleeping Beauty, that was way behind time budget. It took 5 years to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
but now in Disney World, they call it Cinderella's Castle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I've never been to Disney
World. It looks kind of similar, so I'm wondering if... I know it's bigger at Disney
World.
They want
to promote their other movies, so yeah. Okay. That's how Disney works.
Well, it used to be the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse. Now it's Tarzan's.
Right.
Treehouse. Same treehouse.
Yeah, right. They need to go back to the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse because that was a better movie.
Oh, the Tarzan movie was horrible, especially if you read the real Tarzan books.
Yeah, right. Well, any Tarzan movie is probably pretty bad.
But the Tarzan books are so different than the movies. I wish they weren't even called Tarzan. You would not think you were in the same genre at all.
He's the only fictional character that I can think of that's a half man, half ape that has a city named after him, Tarzana. You get a little extra trivia. That's not
the
even
real Tarzan spoke eloquent French and English. He didn't live in a tree. He lived in a house. It was in Africa. I mean, he was raised by apes when he was a baby, but that's anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of the Tarzan thing. I've never been to Tarzana either. So, you know, that's how much I don't like Tarzan, but you know, speaking of Disney, we have their catalog releases. These were not released this year in film, but Beauty and the Beast is one of their catalog titles from the old days. This is their big, what they call a flagship release this year. They have a special name for their collector's editions.
And you still think that was the best Disney animated
modern
of all time,
or the best
animated of all time?
No, I believe it's the best modern. Sleeping Beauty is the best animated movie of all time.
Including the Disney things that have come since then.
Like, yeah, because like I don't think they've ever matched that in terms of quality. And Beauty and the Beast is the second film in what's known as their second renaissance, which started with The Little Mermaid, and then was Sleeping Beauty, The Lion King,
and that had some computer animation in it, but a lot of it was still hand-drawn, too.
That's correct. It had some obvious computer animation. Computer animation for Disney actually goes back to the Rescuers movies in the 80s, I believe, but you can't see it. It's not obvious.
Yeah, I think there was a scene with the clockwork that showed
so that might be it.
I think with Beauty and the Beast, it was the ballroom.
It was the ballroom.
They danced under the chandelier.
Right, and it actually, I don't like that scene because it stands out as computer animation, and it does not meld with the rest of the animated film. But they were on a time budget and they had to do it because they didn't have time to hand animate it, it turns out.
Well, it's kind of like IMAX. When I went to see the second Batman movie, the second of the new series of Batman,
The Dark Knight
yeah, in IMAX. Of course, the whole movie was on a big IMAX screen, but there were only like seven shots shot in IMAX, and they stood out like sore thumbs.
Right, because they grow. Yeah, they change aspect ratio throughout the movie.
Right.
And I actually didn't notice that. I knew about it ahead of time, but didn't notice that it was doing that.
You mean I noticed something in a movie that you did?
Yes, and the Blu-ray of The Dark Knight actually does it too.
I'm good at noticing words. When it comes to visual, you've got the jump on me, so I'm very surprised. Wow.
That doesn't...
Anyway, what's the date? This is the 5th? I'm going to write this
date
down.
Yeah, keep a record, Bob.
Okay.
So, yeah, Beauty and the Beast. I actually saw Beauty and the Beast the day after I watched the Blu-ray of The Secret of Kells. Now, like you said, Bob, I had always considered Beauty and the Beast to be the greatest of the second Renaissance movies because it was so emotionally engrossing. It had a deep, it engaged you both in joy and sadness. And I think it walked a really good line there between really disparaging emotions. And there was a lot of depth there, as well as the animation being very beautifully done and very traditional looking. But When I saw it after the day after seeing The Secret of Kells, the difference was absolutely just, it blew me away. The Secret of Kells was so much better animation. And this was done by, The Secret of Kells was done by a small studio in Ireland. And it was paid for by like 8 different companies, the BBC, a French company. The first Blu-ray release was actually in France. I mean, so The Secret of Kells was sort of the independent movie of animation. The little movie that could is what it's been referred to as. And even in comparing it to what I consider to be one of the greatest modern animated films, it still is better than that. So that's why I am so much on The Secret of Kells boat, so to speak. It's such a good movie. So it wasn't meant to, I'm not putting down the Beauty and the Beast. That's an absolutely wondrous Blu-ray to buy, and I recommend it very highly. But if you had to choose between the two, there's no question The Secret of Kells takes the cake. Now, these days, obviously, most of the movies that you're going to see are going to be computer animated, and DreamWorks really is doing a very good job at sort of stealing the crown from Disney. And How to Train Your Dragon was their biggest movie of the year. It was introduced, it was in competition with Alice in Wonderland. Its first weekend in the box office, it was considered a bomb because it didn't make more than $40 million. It was projected to make $60. However, it continued to make more and more money every week, and it actually was number one 3 weeks in a row after its opening weekend, which is very unheard of. And they announced a sequel to it well into its run because it did so well after the fact, even though it was considered to be a failure initially. And it was a great movie. It is, first and foremost, it was the best 3D movie I have ever seen. DreamWorks has the best 3D you'll ever see. Now, if you are interested in seeing 3D, you can't see it. This is not available on Blu-ray in 3D, but in the theaters, if you want to see a movie in 3D, there's two rules you should know. The first rule is, see an animated film. Do not see a live-action film, because the animated movies are really the only good 3D movies. The second rule is, see a DreamWorks film, because their 3D is the best. Their computer programmers, their algorithms, whatever they do to create the 3D blows everything else out of the water. Disney's, Pixar's, everything. I didn't even see, I saw Tangled just recently. We didn't even bother to see it in 3D because Disney's just not as good at 3D as DreamWorks. But anything DreamWorks does is astounding. And How to Train Your Dragon was an astounding movie, and it's a beautiful, beautiful Blu-ray. Again, the highest recommendation I could give it for this year's new releases.
Okay, well, right now you're listening to Radio in 3D, and we will be back in just a moment. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Who does pop culture better than film critic Mark Moubian, talking about some holiday releases, but we've also been talking about movies that were recently released over the summer that didn't do too well. Mark, you were saying that the newer 3D, of course, is better than the older 3D.
Correct.
The animated ones are better than the live ones.
Correct. And then DreamWorks Animation has the best.
Okay, now, Chronicles of Narnia, the third one, is coming out. It's in 3D. Now, when I'm looking at the commercials on TV, the commercials look animated. I'm assuming that whole thing cannot be animated, though, since they're going to use some, at least some of those same kids from previous
movies.
Right.
Well, you know, it becomes a little bit tough to say this is animated and this isn't, because like Alice in Wonderland, for example, most of that movie is animated, even though there's tons of live actors, but they're animating around them, over them, they're green screening.
Yeah,
and stuff like
in Beowulf, so you could tell they just drew right over real people.
Yeah, so it's,
so does it? Are they going to be drawing over the actors in Chronicles?
No, that'll look like a live action movie. The only animation stuff will be the special effects.
No, they're not DreamWorks, are they?
No, they're not.
Are they
They've
Disney?
Been actually sold off a couple of times. The Narnia series.
I thought it was Disney.
Disney was, I believe, originally doing it, and then they stopped, or they may have bought it from the original owner. But Prince Caspian, the second movie, didn't do very well.
Really?
And so it moved on. They sold it.
And they made the Don Treader anyway.
Right. Well, no, someone else bought it to make the Don Treader. That's how the Don Treader is getting made. And they're spending a lot of time on it. Now, if the movie is filmed in 3D, it will probably look good. I don't know if it's being filmed in 3D. A lot of the live-action films, like Clash of the Titans, was a live-action movie with a lot of obviously computer-animated special effects, but that movie looked very bad in 3D because it was post-production. Correct. It was a conversion.
So now Lucas is going to remake his
Star Wars movies, but
is he going to be able to pull off what others haven't?
We'll see. Lucas is the best at doing this kind of thing, so I actually have faith that he will be able to do it, and then he'll use that to market his skill at doing the conversion to other movies.
Okay, George, if you want to tamper beyond special effects, you can get rid of all the Ewoks and by all means Jar Jar Binks. But the rest of the dialogue, the occasional times when you had good dialogue, that's not the time to change the dialogue.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. Who's no? I cannot even imagine what he's going to do to change the movies again. I'm wondering if they're going to be very different than the previous versions. But
I think
he should just leave them alone
to make something new finally.
Yeah, those now the Blu-rays are coming out for the Star Wars movies next year. They've already been announced. Lucas tends to wait until there's a lot of people that own the players before he releases the movie. He took forever to release Star Wars on DVD. He's done the same thing with Blu-ray, but now I guess he considers Blu-ray to be popular enough that he can release Star Wars and make his tons and tons more money.
Yeah, and I love the way he markets it. After he upgraded or, you know, changed the special effects in the, not the prequel, but the original episodes 4, 5, and 6, first they re-released the old versions. Classic Star Wars, last
never
chance.
Never seen it this way again.
Yeah, never see it this way again. The classic one, the one you grew up on. Then when the director's cuts come out, Star Wars, the way it was meant to be.
Yeah.
George, we're just not buying it anymore. We're not buying it.
We didn't buy it originally, actually.
Well,
I
bought it in the sense that I went down to Target and purchased it, but I didn't buy the line.
Right. Now, I've actually seen the Star Wars movies in high definition from a very high quality source from Germany, and they're astounding in high def.
So you saw Jar Jar Binks in even higher definition?
Well, actually, the first movie is the worst looking one of all, so thank goodness for that, because then I don't want to watch it that much. But all the other ones look absolutely beautiful. Already, before he's gone, he's going to restore the movies even further, do more cleanup, and make them look even better. So these are going to be a great Blu-rays next year, and hopefully we'll be here talking about them in a year's time.
Misa not in the second one. Misa not popular.
Yeah, he wasn't popular. Boy, oh boy. I liked how he sold out the rebels to the Empire.
Well,
the good guys to the bad guys.
That gave him something to do that we could believe in.
Right.
You know, that was probably the only thing about Jar Jar
that was
that
his
I did
one
like.
Redeeming value, that he wrecked everything.
Oh my gosh!
He didn't just wreck it for us; he wrecked it for the rebels, for the Republic.
How can a mind genius enough to have come up with these movies also imagine a character like that?
I don't know.
And been surprised when people didn't like him.
Yes. Well, we have our friend Richard, who's the Star Wars apologist.
Yes, I know. He likes Jar Jar. He likes the Ewoks. Yeah. He likes everything. Sorry, Richard. We like you, Richard, but just a little difference of taste here.
Right. But we'll have to have him on so he can set us straight on the Star Wars mythology.
We should. Would he go in the air?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
Yeah, he's not shy about giving his opinion, but some people don't like to give them on the
air.
Right,
yeah. Well, I don't care. I'll give my opinion anytime, anywhere. Anyone that wants to listen,
you and I were born to give opinions.
Yes, that's right. So let's see. Let's get back to Toy Story 3. That's the biggest money earner of the year. Not only the biggest money earner animated, but the biggest money earner, period. It's made more money than all of the other Toy Story movies. And
that's a 3D version.
It's also came out in 3D, but there, you know, it's kind of, whatever. Disney's 3D is okay. It's just not great. I don't go, hey, this is a knockout. How to Train Your Dragon, I was knocked. My socks were knocked off. It was just a wonderful 3D experience. They really know how to do it there. But Toy Story 3 is sort of, let's do it in 3D because people want to see stuff in 3D. Okay.
Well, maybe the same crack action squad that gave us Disney's California Adventure is working on their 3D.
Probably algorithms, yeah. But they could make it better. It's just they haven't had a chance yet. I think they need to go see some more DreamWorks movies in 3D and see what their competition is doing. That's really what needs to happen with Disney. But now, Toy Story 3 is still a wonderful movie. I guarantee it's going to win.
Yeah, that one I have not seen, but I hear it's one of the most heartwarming of all.
It is very emotionally, again, another very emotionally engrossing film. You deal with both the joy of these toys. You deal with the pain of loss and separation. And there's a scene in there where they all are about to be engulfed in fire. And instead of crying out in horror, they all reach out to each other and grasp hands to face their impending death with dignity and recognizing that they're together at that moment to comfort each other. And it's one of the most beautiful moments in animated film, I think, especially because in the previous two movies, you've come to learn who these characters are and know them and love them. And so you really are engaged with them at that moment. And that is one of the greatest moments, I think, in animated film at that time, up to now, because it's not one of those great, you know, joyful, wondrous, you know, moments. It's a really painful and sad moment, but it's a really powerful moment. And that they were willing to take a risk, that Pixar would do that, that's a big risk, and that they would do it well. That's just, they get so much credit for that.
Now, is this new one based on Rapunzel? What's that called?
Oh, Tangled, yeah, based on Rapunzel.
Is that Disney-Pixar collaboration also?
No, but Pixar intervened in the middle and threw out almost 100% of the movie and had them redo it all. So, it's almost a Pixar movie.
For the better?
Yeah. It's a
and
good
you
movie.
Have seen this?
Yeah, okay. I liked it. It's not great. Like, Toy Story 3 was very good. It's fun. It's wonderful. You should go see it. I'll buy the Blu-ray and enjoy it, but it's not like, wow, this is the best movie ever. It's just, it's a fun movie, and I liked it a lot. But like I said, Toy Story 3 is probably going to earn the Academy Award. I actually think How to Train Your Dragon is better than Toy Story 3 and should win this year's Academy Award. But it's really, I just don't think it will because of Toy Story 3. Despicable Me, another movie that'll be out on Blu-ray. It's either this week or next week.
Okay.
This was actually a cheap, farmed-out movie, and the animation isn't great. But it's a very good and fun movie, and it's something I recommend because it was such a good, enjoyable
film. All right,
film.
Despicable Me. Mark will be talking about some other movies when we return to The Bob Siegel Show.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's daily blog on townhall.com. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
Welcome back to our program. You're listening to KCBQ. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Tomorrow night, I will be guest hosting for Rick Amato, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock here at the same place, KCBQ 1170. Right now, we're joined by film critic Mark Boobian.
Thanks, Bob. Now, the last animated film that's on the list of the top 10 earners is Shrek the Fourth.
I liked the first Shrek. The second one, after I saw the second one, I didn't even bother with the third. What is your opinion on Shrek sequels?
I liked the second movie. The third is terrible. It is so bad that our family didn't even want to go see Shrek.
It isn't our fourth coming called The Final Chapter?
That's the one.
Oh,
that was released. Yeah, so you missed it because.
See, I don't believe them when they say I think they mean, or if it was that bad and it did bad at the box office, maybe, but I think they mean The Final Chapter unless it becomes popular and we want to make another Final Chapter.
Shrek has never done bad. Even Shrek the Third, I think, may be their biggest earner and is one of the worst animated films I've ever seen, period. It's so bad. It is so bad. I mean, it makes me want to weep.
So you didn't even like the first one?
I liked the first movie. I'm talking about Shrek the Third, which is the title of the third film.
So it's not just the story, the animation was better?
The animation's okay, but the story's so bad it doesn't even matter.
Okay.
You don't care.
Okay.
I mean, the first Shrek movie was brilliant. It's a classic. The second Shrek movie, I think, was not as good, but I think is also a brilliant film.
But when you say the animation was horrible, is that a sweeping statement for all three?
No, I didn't say the animation was horrible. I think the animation is fine in Shrek. It's nothing to write home about, but it's fine. It looks good. It's got its own style, and it fits Shrek, the Shrek universe, and it's fine. But it's not like The Secret of Kells, where I would say, wow, not only are you seeing a great story, but you're seeing this beautiful animation. You're looking at art on the screen. How to Train Your Dragon, another movie where I'd say the same thing. Not so for Shrek, but Shrek is still a good, fine animated film. Despicable Me, a crummy kind of animation because they had it farmed out to a foreign company. It cost them about 1/4 of what Shrek cost to make, which is why they farmed it out, and it made more than Shrek. So they made a ton of money off of this film, but it's not going to look, the animation's not great, but Despicable Me story is fun. That's why you go see a movie anyway.
Yeah, given the choice, I'd rather see a good story.
Right, you want to see a good story. The animation doesn't matter in the end, really, as long as the story's good. So that's really the key. And that's why Despicable Me works so well. And Shrek was fine, but you know, Shrek the Third, nothing could have saved that movie in the best animation in the world. I like Shrek 1 and 2. Shrek the fourth movie, The Final Chapter, that's a fine movie. It's not great, but it's good. It's enjoyable. The problem with the Shrek films is they're releasing them on Blu-ray and DVD now as a whole box set. You can't buy them one at a time, unless you want to buy Shrek the Third, the worst movie. So you have to buy the whole box set if you want Shrek 1 and 2, and it's about $40 on Amazon. Now, if you consider it being four movies, that equals $10 a movie, so it's a good deal. But since we're going to throw out the third movie, let's do it as three movies, and it's still a good deal. So you're not getting ripped off. You won't feel ripped off if you buy this box set. It's still kind of a cheap and dirty for DreamWorks to do this. They know that people aren't going to be buying the third movie for sure. Maybe not as interested in the fourth movie, though the fourth movie did great at the box office.
I still say if the fourth movie is really the final chapter, I will eat my hat.
It's probably not because it didn't end on a note that said it was the last movie.
It's like when Jack Benny retired from television, he had Jack Benny's first farewell special, and as people came to, he was doing it as a gag.
Right.
As they said, came to say goodbye to him on his last special. He goes, no, this is the first of a series of farewells.
Yeah.
So I'm sure
that's
going to be a series of final chapters on Shrek.
The first final chapter.
Yeah.
Which is how it just was a movie that was self-contained, so it didn't
sequels
end
just usually aren't a good idea. I know Toy Story is an exception, and there have been some, but usually a sequel is just a retreading of the old first story.
It can be, though. I think the second Shrek movie went into an original direction, and the third one, they just didn't have any ideas for a story, and it stunk.
And it's always, that never keeps Hollywood from making
another
one.
Well, they're making
movie
tons
anyway.
Of money. I mean, Shrek made a ton of money this year in the theater, and so.
And that's all the producers care about. The producers don't care, is there really more story to tell? Did it make money? That is the only question.
That is absolutely right. And, you know, that's good and bad. I mean, they're a business in the end, and we have to give that to them because that's how they work.
Yeah, but their business is supposed to be a creativity.
I know, but, you know, what do you want to do? This is a capitalist society. So, fortunately, though, the capitalism comes to help us out sometimes. Like, Disney's releasing their catalog titles, like I said. We got Beauty and the Beast. We also have Fantasia. Because they want to make money off of these titles, they're releasing them on Blu-ray. That way, they're going to make more money. Now, then, and Blu-ray is way better than DVD. Now, Bob, you were there when DVD came out, and I was all doing backflips over
DVD.
I
remember the day when nothing excited Mark more than DVD.
That's
then it
right.
was high definition videos, and we weren't allowed to watch DVDs at your house.
And now it's Blu-ray.
Hey, but I want you all to know, Mark showed up with a bag of movies today. Bag of movies. They're all DVDs that
That's
he was
right.
offering me because I know he's got the Blu-ray.
Right, I have all the Blu-rays. Because I don't, you know, I'm not going to watch the DVDs. They just don't look that good compared to Blu-ray.
I will be happy to watch Blu-ray when I get a Blu-ray present. Hey, those of you that love this show, that could make a great stocking stuffer for me this
That's
Christmas.
Right.
If you're paying,
there you go.
Are you paying attention?
I should send you one myself. And anybody you that
should.
Has
and
high...
then I could chime in even more enthusiastically when you talk about Blu-ray.
That's right.
It would
there
be good
go.
For the show. We could make it a tax deduction because we'll talk about it on the show.
That's right. It's all
like
Blu-ray.
Like the pastor who rehearses his sermon while he's taking a shot at golf or he goes to Hawaii and looks at the beautiful sunset that God made. Now the whole trip to Hawaii is tax deductible.
That's there you go. We need to do the same thing. That's
yeah,
a great idea.
Go.
So, well... I don't need to tax deduct Fantasia because it was so good. I
Fantasia
happy
was
buy
a
it.
Wonderful movie. No story. Wasn't nope. meant to have a story, but no,
it's purely
a fantastic
an art movie.
Movie.
Yeah, it was Disney's attempt to introduce children to classical music, and so he used animation to communicate that. And it's an art movie, and it's really good. Now, the reason I was excited about the Blu-ray is when the DVD came out, it was the best sounding DVD I had ever owned. Fantasia 2000 is the best sounding. Now, the original Fantasia has got a very dated sound to it because it was recorded in the 40s. And anything recorded in the 40s is going to be worn and a little bit dated. But Fantasia 2000 sounds absolutely amazing. If you've got a decent sound system in your house and a Blu-ray player, you absolutely have to have Fantasia 2000 or the Fantasia set.
Now, it's interesting because when Fantasia 2000 came out, I learned something I had never known, and that's that Walt Disney himself had intended Fantasia to be updated every few years, but it just never happened.
Because it wasn't making enough money.
Yeah, so Fantasia 2000 was the beginning of that dream many years after Walt passed away.
And it's been, now it's too bad there's not a Fantasia 2010, unfortunately.
Well, people want a story. They want a story.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
And they want a good movie. And Fantasia 2000 did not make a ton of money, and they also made cuts where they didn't play whole pieces of classical music. So even the classical music community wasn't super happy with Fantasia 2000 either. But it's still a good... It's still a very good Blu-ray. The visuals are beautiful, the animation's wonderful, and the sound, again, is great. Now, one of the places Blu-ray really, really can benefit us is with classics like this when they do them, when they update them, when they restore them. And studios are now motivated to restore films because of Blu-ray. Now, Lucas was one of the first real popular people to do a major restoration. When he did the restoration of Star Wars, it was night and day between what he had for the original worn film stock and when he did the restoration. You just can't tell. I mean, you see the difference immediately on any TV, be it high definition or regular, and that really paved the way for restorations. Now studios are very motivated to restore for Blu-ray because Blu-ray shows every detail, every color that they can produce. And there's some great classics that have just come out that are on Blu-ray that you should look out for, too.
Okay, more Blu-ray picks and suggestions when we return to the Bob Siegel Show with film critic Mark Boubian. Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. Well, as always, Mark, the time went by far too fast. In our last segment, let me ahead of time thank you. It's always wonderful having you on the show. I enjoy listening to your point of view. And we haven't heard as much about the Christian symbolism in some of these this time, but I know you're just recommending some as good movies, a little bit with Kells. But anyway, what is continuing there on your list?
Okay, well, let's move into the Christian realm a little bit because we're talking about restored classics. And we can't have a restored classic without having Charlie Brown. And
Charles Schulz was a very dedicated Christian.
He was.
He actually wrote a book called The Gospel According to Peanuts.
Well, he didn't even need to do
that. Which was probably more
that.
Theological sound than the fifth gospel that came out by the Jesus Seminar.
I'm sure it was far more accurate to the Bible, too.
Very
even
much
though
so.
They were trying to rewrite the Bible, yeah. Well, the beauty of the Peanuts characters and the beauty of all of the Charlie Brown shows have some kind of Christian element to them worked in. The I don't know if the Great Pumpkin does. I can't remember, but the Thanksgiving
well, they
and
about
Christmas.
Faith, but it was faith of the Great Pumpkin.
No. God. Well, the Great Pumpkin, right. It was about faith.
Oh, but
the
Charlie Brown Christmas, Linus gets up and does the whole, which the producers did not want to put in there, and Schulz absolutely insisted.
Yeah, because he was talking about the whole, it's about the meaning of Christmas. What's the meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown? You know, he's like, I don't know. I want to know what the meaning of Christmas is. It's a whole conflict of the show. And Linus answers the question at the end by citing the gospel about Jesus'
birth.
Although
I have to admit, when I saw that as a little kid in the fifth grade, I didn't know what the heck Linus was talking about. I knew that baby Jesus had something to do with Christmas. What that had to do with me, I was sure I did not know.
Right. But it's important, though, to make sure that we remember that Jesus... We're celebrating the birth of Christ on, Christmas. And Charlie Brown, thank God Charlie Brown exists because they will never throw him off the air.
That's
he's going
right.
to be aired every Christmas.
It could be against the law to talk about Christianity, but they'll make an exception for that
for
movie
Charlie Brown.
Because it makes money.
Yes, that's and it's
true.
A wonderful film. Everybody likes Charlie Brown, no matter who they are. So, and the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, the same thing where they talk about Thanksgiving. Linus actually... gives the prayer. Peppermint Patty even says, are we going to have a prayer? It's Thanksgiving. Like, we're recognizing that Thanksgiving is about giving thanks to God, which was its purpose when it was originally set in, you know, when it was originally done the first Thanksgiving. So these movies, you know, that what's wonderful about them as a Christian is they maintain the Christian tradition that they are as part of the stories they're telling. Now, the nice thing about these is now the DVDs actually were sort of mediocre. And when I heard the Blu-rays were coming out, I was like, oh, whatever, because they're kind of crummy looking. They're just Charlie Brown. Who cares? You know, if they look great or not, they're fun. We'll like them. Well, when I got the Blu-rays, I was blown away. They had restored them. They've removed tons of the dust and grain. They look way better than they ever have. And I don't think they've ever looked this good. It's not the best restoration you'll ever see, but it really did improve a ton on the DVD.
They didn't accidentally blow off some of the dust on the character Pigpen, did they?
No, they didn't. That's all floating
around. We want to see that dust.
Oops. <Okay. laughs> We didn't mean to remove that dust. Yeah.
What did you do, you idiot? That was Pigpen. It was supposed to look that
way. They could have, yeah. That's good. Well, there was probably someone just like you there, Bob, keeping an eye on things. So, another movie that is a great classic that really did benefit massively from a restoration is A Sound of Music. They have.
Oh, I would love to see that in Blu-ray. All right, I'm coming
beautiful.
Over to your house. You don't want to buy me the Blu-ray? Don't buy it. That means I'm coming to your house. I want to see that thing in Blu-ray.
Yeah, you have to.
It is the best motion picture ever made, as far as I'm
concerned. It's very wonderful. I mean, my daughter, we're actually going to buy a second set. Because my daughter, it's her favorite movie, and there's a super collection that I didn't buy initially. So she's getting that because it's just, she loves that movie so much. And for good reason, it's just a great movie. But when you see it on Blu-ray, I mean, they've restored it. Now, it's a very grainy movie because it was filmed in the 60s. They use kind of a soft filter for filming. So some of the majestic backgrounds are a little bit soft and the focus is on the characters. But Blu-ray gives you two things. It gives you resolution and it gives you more color than DVD can give you. So those two things combined make Sound of Music look better than it ever has. I've read tons of comments about people talking about the detail on the clothing of the people. Now, I actually thought, what a dumb reason to get excited about a restored movie. Oh, yeah, their clothes look like clothes. Then when I watched it, I paid attention to the clothing. And you could tell the fabric down
to the
detail.
The kids wearing those drapes
wearing.
Around town is part of the story.
Right.
She makes their clothes out of drapes.
That's true. But, I mean, in even the Von Trapp family singers, every one of them has a different piece of clothing. You can tell one of the kids is wearing a leather jerkin, another is wearing something else. You can see the detail of the fabric on Captain Von Trapp. And then the uncle has like a wool type of coat on. And you wouldn't be able to tell this on anything but Blu-ray or a restored version.
So just a phenomenal movie. It had everything. It had one of the most exciting endings I've ever seen. Beautiful scenery. It was romantic. It was funny. It was
right.
The songs, I know you don't like musicals much, but you
I
like
love
this
Sound
one
of Music.
Because
yes.
The songs and the dialogue are almost seamless. And they speak against the Nazis. But what I like the most about The Sound of Music is so far there has not been Sound of Music 2, The Von Trapps Continue. That makes me like it
though.
Even more.
Because
the Von Trapps had an interesting history after that. But don't make the movie. We don't want to see a sequel.
Which I don't think they will now, because there's a point where movies are so classic that they won't do a sequel. Like Gone with the Wind had a sequel book because it was going out of copyright. That book stunk by all reviews, and there was never a movie made.
No, they made a television movie out of it.
Oh, they did?
Yes, they
oh,
did.
Come on.
It was called, it was called Scarlet. Oh. But it was a miniseries. I believe, and I hope I am wrong, I believe that because Mary Poppins is on Broadway with some new songs, that's usually a precursor to them remaking the movie. And folks, I don't want to see Julia Roberts as the new Mary Poppins and Danny DeVito as the new Bert or however they would. I don't want to see that.
Right.
Leave the classics alone.
That's a movie I'm actually waiting for on Blu-ray. That's one of my favorite musicals.
Having it on Blu-ray is fine. Remaking it with a new cast, not fine.
Absolutely agree. Because they can wreck it like they wrecked Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Willy Wonka was a wonderful movie.
Charlie the Chocolate Factory stunk to high heavens.
Oh, it was terrible. It made $1 billion. I don't know why, but
that's a travesty. That should be a crime right there.
That should be, but whatever. We're talking about good movies. Let's get back to the good stuff. Okay, so Bridge on the River Kwai is another classic.
Fantastic movie.
David Lean, one of my favorite directors of all time.
Dr. Zhivago. And
Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes.
And Alec Guinness in every one of them.
Yes, and they're absolutely great movies. Now, Bridge on the River Kwai, I actually, this was a movie I didn't know what I was getting into when I first saw it. And I was engrossed by it, and it changes so many times. Because there's a left, you know, lefts and right curves everywhere.
Yes.
The movie is just
definitely
it's
a road with a lot of turns. You don't know where it's going.
And they blew up a real bridge in this film. They don't do that anymore. They actually blew up a bridge, built a whole bridge, and blew the sucker up.
Now, did the guy on the set who built the fake bridge get attached to the bridge and then didn't want the studio to tear it down and freak out when they did that?
Well, what's funny is one of the great things about this Blu-ray and The Sound of Music 2 is it comes in what's called a digibook. So there's a book. The box is a book. And so I read the opening chapter of the Bridge on the River Kwai, and it's great to be able to read the history of the film, you know, before you put it in, you can read, or, you know, when you're at the table eating or something. So these are little nice extras that come with the Blu-ray, but with something like this, it's great. So it talked about the natives did a blessing of the bridge 2 weeks before they blew it up, and how ironic it was that the natives were like, this is such a wonderful bridge, and it's so great for the area, and they're like, but we're going to blow the bridge up, you guys.
See, now that's another movie you could make. That's an interesting story. That wouldn't be a sequel. It would be a movie about the making of
I still don't think I'd want to see that remade. Just having that movie back out in the theaters would be something that would be great to see. Another awesome box set that's I consider it a classic, but it's more modern, and it's a horror series, but is Alien. Alien was one of the great DVD box sets. And they've really upped the ante with the Blu-ray.
Are these director's cuts, or are they the originals?
Well, what they do is they give you both the director's cut and the original cut. And the only person that really technically has a director's cut is James Cameron, the director of the first Alien movie, Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott.
He said, this is the director's cut. When they were, for the DVD, Fox approached him and said, make a director's cut. And he didn't want to.
But those scenes that he put back belonged in there. We found that the alien was using those people to make more aliens.
Correct.
Instead of just being eaten and disappearing.
That's right.
Now, why would he have not wanted to include that?
Because, okay. Now, there's scenes that are included that he cut for a reason, and it kind of interferes with the storyline. Now, I had heard Ridley Scott's reasoning prior to actually seeing the director's cut. So I had heard why he had cut certain things, and I watched. I thought, "Oh, you are nuts! If you're cutting out the aliens, putting the people, storing the people away, and using them as embryos, like in the second movie, Like, I had no idea that was in the first movie ever because it was cut and I didn't know film history when I first saw it. That's such a great moment in the film. It's got to be. Well, when I watched the film, there's all this action happening and then suddenly the film grinds to a halt for Ripley to find them stored up on the wall and to burn them up. That's what happens. She burns them up. She kills them in a mercy killing because they're going to be embryos. And then she runs away. Well, it totally ruined the action of the film. So Ridley Scott actually cut that scene for a good reason, and I was all for it. But this is a great, wonderful film, set of films. James Cameron was the DVD of Aliens. The second movie is horrible, absolutely horrible. It's never looked good ever. And James Cameron did this special restoration of the film. It looks brilliant. You will never see it look as good as it does now on Blu-ray. And these are two wonderful movies to get. So
well, we're out of time, Mark. We'll have you on again.
Thank you, Bob.
Film critic Mark Boobian, and I'm sure he and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week.